Revelation 19, verse 1, we'll read together the first 10 verses. After these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale, British Columbia. Let the Bible Speak comes to you each day at this time to bring you the message of the gospel. We preach the word, we seek to read, preach, expound, and apply. And I hope that your heart is open to the message of God's word today from Revelation chapter 19. We'll be discussing the whole matter of praise ye the Lord, or as in the Hebrew, hallelujah. Hallelujah. May there be a spirit of praise in your heart today. I know we're living in very serious and difficult times, but God calls us to praise him in the midst of the storms of life, that we may glorify him through his word. And so I hope that you will be blessed today as you stay tuned with us right through the program, and that there will be a word for your own soul here from Revelation chapter 19. Let's open in prayer. Father, we ask your blessing today. We know that your people are enduring hardships in many ways. There have been many bereavements and sorrows, suffering, sickness, this coronavirus that has ravaged the whole nations of the world and come very close to all the problems that it has brought, economic, how to pay our bills, how to keep employment. O Lord, will you work graciously to minister to hearts today through your word, and put a song in our mouths, even praise to our God. And so we lift up our voices to thee today and say, Hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. O bless thy great name today. Come by thy Spirit and speak to us through thy holy word. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Open your Bible again, please, at Revelation chapter 19. And I hope that you have picked up on each of those alleluias. Now, you'll notice here that there's no H in the front, and there's no J at the end. Now, you'll find them, firstly, verse 1 and verse 3, verse 4, and verse 6, these words, Alleluia. So they look a little different from the regular way, you might say, the way they are in the hymnal, for example. Now, the reason for this is that the word Alleluia comes from the Hebrew root halal, H-A-L-L-A-L, and simply means praise, period, praise, period. And then praise ye the Lord. These are two separate words in the Hebrew language. When they were translated by the Greeks into the Greek Bible, or the Septuagint version, they transliterated it. They just took it halal, right? So they just transliterated the whole three words. They put them all together. Now remember, in the Hebrew, just one word, halal, praise, and then the word ye and Lord were separate words. When the Greeks translated it, they put it all into one word. They were kind of crammers. They were always seeking ways to say the same thing more concisely. When the Latin Bible was produced, again, it was translated into the Latin. One word, hallelujah. And then when it was translated into English from the Latin or from the Greek, again, it was transliterated. So we get in our English Bible here in Revelation chapter 19, this way of spelling, this pronunciation, Alleluia. Now, the loss of the H is no big deal, because in the Hebrew and Greek languages, the H is kind of an optional letter. It's one of those aspirant breathing letters, like vehicle. We don't normally say vehicle, but we say vehicle. So H is kind of a soft and sometimes even a silent letter. So here we have this word, Alleluia. But of course, we need to understand what it means. And it's a bit like the word worship. We need to grow into understanding and appreciation of the word. The best definition of the word worship that I have come across is weighty. That's why our reverence should never be light. It should be reverent. It should be honoring. It should be exalting. And this word, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, should also have that solemn, honorable, reverence, and exalting tone and comprehension to it. Now, to really understand the word hallelujah, we need to go back to the Hebrew Bible. We need to go to the Psalms, where we find many of them. And I have found 14 Psalms that either begin or end, or begin and end, with this halal, or praise ye the Lord. Now, I read one commentator and said there are 15, but I could only find 14. So I want to go no further than what I have found for myself. Now, let's go then to the book of Psalms. And I notice that in the Psalms, there is good reason. There's always good reason for giving praise to the Lord. So let's go firstly to the Psalm 104. And we're thinking here of those 14 times when you have this praise ye the Lord. And we'll start at Psalm 104. And you'll notice that at the very end of the psalm, this is a liturgical device. It is a marker simply saying the psalm is over or concluding. Praise ye the Lord. And so you have the whole psalm, 35 verses, and then at the end, it is this manner of closing the psalm, simply saying, praise ye the Lord. So it's a device of worship, liturgical. And that is the use of it here in Psalm 104. You'll find exactly the same thing at the end of Psalm 105, which is a very long one. And you'll even find it after the word amen. So it is not in the context of the psalm. It's not in the content of the psalm. It is used at the end of the psalm as a liturgical device to conclude the song, conclude the worship at that very point. And there you'll see it. So that was Psalm 105. Then you'll also, now I was talking about Psalm 106 there, at the end of it, right at the very end of Psalm 106, you will see Amen, and then Praise Ye the Lord. And so in those three psalms, you'll find that it is a method of bringing the whole worship to a conclusion. Now, sometimes it is a device to open a psalm. For example, if you go to Psalm 146 and all the psalms to the end of that section, you will see that it's at the very beginning, Praise Ye the Lord. Psalm 147, Psalm 148, 149, 150, and they are all commencing with this same little phrase, Halal to Jehovah, Praise Ye the Lord. But it is given as an opening to the psalm. And you can just imagine the song leader or the psalm leader as he is leading God's people in worship. And he stands and he calls them to worship. Praise ye the Lord. And then they launch into this particular psalm. Now also, there are some psalms where it is in the middle, or it is at the beginning and the end. And in every one of them, there's always good reason why we're praising the Lord. Now, I'm going to take you back to Psalm 135, Psalm 135, and you'll see how it begins, Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob. Now here's the reason. You'll see that it's not just an empty device. It's not just a hollow ring. There is reason why we should lift up our voices. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob. And then in verse 5, for I know that the Lord is great. And so look for the fours when you're commanded to praise the Lord. In other words, we should never have empty worship. We should never just have hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Just empty liturgical repetition. Praise ye the Lord. Don Gossett would need to learn this. You just don't roll your tongue and repeatedly say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, with an empty fashion. There must be attached to it a good reason. And in our worship of the Lord, we say to our God, we worship thee because or for thy greatness or thy goodness. There's always attached to it a good, solid reason. The word halal or hallelujah is never an empty expression. Now, that being so, we come now to Revelation chapter 19, and we deal with these four hallelujahs, and we would expect that as the saints in heaven are praising the Lord, that they're doing it for good reason. And you'll find here tonight that that's exactly what it is. And these four hallelujahs in Revelation 19, when we look at the content, they are filled with reasons, and they're big reasons, mighty reasons. If you look at verse 2, where after you have hallelujah, salvation, glory, honor, and power unto the Lord our God, verse 2, what do you get? For true and righteous are his judgments. And this is the hallelujah, number one. It's the courtroom song of truth and justice. And verse 2 says, for true and righteous are thy judgments. Here's the big reason. Now, notice back in verse 1 that this is the chorus of the saints in heaven. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia. And so this is the worship of the glorified saints who have made it to heaven. They are redeemed. They are delivered out of this world, out of false worship, and out of persecution. And so God to them now is a righteous God. These, many of them, are the martyrs that were under the altar. They were crying out, How long, O Lord? They were waiting in the midst of their days of persecution and tribulation for God to do something. And God promised that He would, that He would be faithful. And now they're in heaven. They have made it home to glory. And they are praising God. On earth, they bore shame, prison, beatings, even death for Jesus' sake. And during that time, man might ask, where is justice? Where is God's righteous deeds and acts now? Is God really with us? But in the midst of their trouble, they endured. They patiently endured for Christ, believing as Moses did when he suffered for righteousness, when he fled Egypt, and he sought the greater riches, and that eternal city where righteousness dwells. Now, in these times, God gives promises to us. And the Lord Jesus in the gospel said that any that lose family, friendship, houses, lands, for my name's sake, shall reap 100-fold in this world and in the world to come. And so to every deprived disciple of Christ, there is this wonderful promise. Many question, is it worth it to serve the Lord? Maybe you've had a tough week and you're discouraged. Maybe you are cast down. Well, Revelation 19 is the answer. There ought to be a hallelujah even in the midst of your trials, because the Lord is just and righteous. He is true in His judgments. Now, this you'll find in many places of the Bible. In Romans 12, 19, the Apostle Paul wrote to Christians there who were very troubled, Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And these saints, Revelation 19, who are now in heaven, they are saying it loud and clear, Righteous and true are thy judgments. I wonder tonight, can you hold on to that? Can you make that the stable support of your faith? Can you take assurance that your sufferings for the Lord will be honored? That every trial, trouble, one day will be reversed and you will be the winner. And this means that we don't have to worry about clearing our name. Sometimes that's a big factor in the Christian life. And we can't be going around always correcting every gossip, every story, every detail of what someone thinks or says about us. We are to lift up the name of the Lord and let the Lord be our vindicator. Let the Lord deal with His and our enemies. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And we can turn the other cheek, as the Lord has taught us to do. We can pray for our enemies, not go into battle against them. We can go the second mile to show the love of Christ, even to those who hurt us and injure us. And here we learn from these saints in heaven that one day God will vindicate His promises, true and righteous are His judgments. And so tonight, take that to heart. And sometimes we have to be able to say, let it go. You don't have to get up and defend your name. Let the Lord take care. Just hand it over to the Lord. And as you do that, you're free. It liberates you, sets you free to serve Him and continue to be a faithful witness to Him. Now, the next alleluia that we find here is in verse 3, and it is the funeral song of Babylon's final destruction. And again they said, alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And that speaks of Babylon's final doom. Now, when we think of the smoke of a city, we think of her life at work. We think of the fires that are burning to cook the food and heat the homes, or the factories that are at work. Life is going on. When we take a vantage point of a town or a city and we see the smoke of it, we say that's life at work. But this is not the life of Babylon. This is its smoldering embers, the destruction of Babylon, because she has fallen. And chapter 18, of course, we went into some detail of the fall of Babylon and how that great whore with all her harlotry and all her apostasy and departure from God, how it totally collapsed. Let me point out just a little statement I don't think I got to in chapter 18. If you follow with me in chapter 18, verse 21, you'll see at the end four little words, no more at all, no more at all. And it says, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Now, in English, that's redundancy. That's repetition. That's adding and multiplying words. But it's making a point. This city is never going to rise again. You'll notice the same thing in verse 22 in the middle. And trumpeters shall be heard no more at all. And then the end of verse 22. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And verse 23 again. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And then one more. Middle of verse 23, and of the bride shall be heard, the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all. Normal life will never resume. Babylon is totally finished. And because of her destruction and demise, the saints in heaven are shouting hallelujah. They are offering their voice of praise. And for this, the saints are singing in triumph over that wicked, worldly Babylonian system. Tonight, we ought not to be building our lives for Babylon. We ought not to be building for this world, because it's going to burn up. It's going to be totally, absolutely erased. And if you're building for this world, you're a loser. If you're building for the kingdom of God, you're a winner, and you will join these saints shouting hallelujah. And so do not allow the world to become the love of your heart. Don't sell out your soul or truth or righteousness for a little bit of this world. Rather, live in the expectation that the wicked world is going to be judged. The judge will stand forth. Babylon will fall. And we're told here in verse 3, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Don't live for this world. She is going to be finished.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go.
There is one thing we can be absolutely sure of, that is, when we are in heaven, we will have no argument with God, no argument with his providence, no argument with the things that he has caused us to endure here on earth. We will have then, of course, perfect knowledge. We will see the end from the beginning, as God always sees it. We will see the wisdom of God as he works all things for good. And yes, Romans 8:28 will be hanging very visible and clear in glory. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And we need to be reminded that even those difficult, hard things that we go through in this world, the bitter disappointments, the tears, and the deep sorrows of this world, God uses them for our good and for his glory. Now, of course, you need to be a Christian to understand that. You need to be a Bible reader to understand that. But it is true. And I trust that you will have that faith, that comfort of knowing that your heavenly Father, who sees the sparrow fall, who counts the hairs on our head, is in complete control today. May God bless you richly. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. And in these times of the coronavirus and all the carnage that it is bringing to our world and right into our own homes and lives, let's hear a promise from the Lord here in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, to the church at Philadelphia. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. The Lord will bless the faithful, and as we seek to stand true to the Lord, he will remain faithful to his people. Shall we unite in prayer and ask the Lord to watch over his people today? Father, we thank thee for this wonderful promise here in Revelation chapter 3:10. We thank thee, O Lord, that you have promised to be faithful to your own faithful people. And so we pray that you will ever keep our eyes fixed upon thee, that we will endure this temptation, this time of proving, with hearts that are full, with our hearts that are fixed on the Lord, and that we will exercise our faith in the gospel in these times. And so we pray for the Holy Spirit to fill each heart, to lead us to the reassurance of the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Let thy blessing be upon thy people today and each day ahead. We ask this in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Remember our website, ltbs.ca.